From Saturday the 4th to Sunday the 5th of May, Reveille will embark on its 11th loop around the sun. Reveille is a collaborative sound and radio project presented by the SoundCap Cooperative that circles the Earth on live audio streams at daybreak. Reveille will be mixed from a hub at Stave Hill Ecological Park in South London and stations at Tartu, Sunshine Coast, Cagnat, and additional locations to be announced. You can listen online on Resonance Extra, Waveform, and other participating stations. For more information, please visit soundted.org/Reveille.
کل زندگی تو شب بدیده منت همه چی به گوشم خودم و دخترام تو شب بریزیم و سرم موشک مهمی علی اصد یا که هوشنگ باس میزدم یه چک به تو چم تمام دروغات زیر سر آمریکاست یا زیر سر اروپاست نداری دستی ملخت و سه بار جستی تو شبکه مجازی من لابلای بلوکام راد نمیدن مفتی میخوای بیای خودتو شستی رفاقت تطیل فروختم با سقفی بچینم کلمات گلچین ما یعنی شما نه پس خودم چی ساده بگم رک مستقیم تو خامی واسه یه پختنی موندم آتیش صدام بگیره بنای مصنوعی ظاهرتون و حفظم از برداستانای تخت خوابتون و بالشت پر ریخ پر و بالتون و من جا کردم تو اتاقم آسمون و روزی که خاک نتونست و نپذیر و فیش دستی نگرفت دست هیچ کسی رو تهران و موشای موزیک کنار حلبی و بوی گند جسد میگیره همه چی رو میکشم کل میرخصم نخ رو گل 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 میکشم کل میکشم کل میرخصم نخ رو گل میش از زمزمه بارداره بچهش کشید سر زاکل بازار خاله توران گرم امام نداریم مش راکت میریزم بنزین تو باکت چون غم شد و سیانو نمیمونم ساکت توان فری بیتا کی او رو بی سر و پا خاطراتم این کبودی رو تن جاش زمانی میره با تیک تاک دقیق ساعتی اسلحه کشدار جمعیه وسیله گذر اون کنار جوی و طویله دادم تغییرت اینم سند و من گل زمیمه اینم سند و من گل زمیمه تو رزم واژه خمه تو گرفتم نیستی حریف فاینده یه دالونه وصله به دری تو تاریکی که سفت و محکم بس قرص پشت قرص بنداز بالا لعنتی حرفایی که بهت میزنم درد داره بعد از این بالا بیار بالا مده یه عصبی صفحه یه سفیدی من تو اتاق رنگ بزی تو خود تر همی با تیغ روی مغزمی الان توی مدنی اونجا که ریشه زدم و بلدی قدم رسید واسه من که فهمیدم دنیا چقدر دنیا زمین یه کوچه یه تنگه به چپ که اون که همه چی و با هم میخواد زرنگه همه چی چیه اون که مرد دیده آخر جنگه همه چی چیه
تو راه خونم تو فکر اونم که شب رو کارتونای سرده من سیر برمیگردم یه دستی ازم طلب کمی پول میکنه برا سیرمونی گشنگی بچه سخت خندیدن وقت دیدن اون چرخ دود بی هم تو دستای کوچک رنجیدش التماس به دستای پشت شیشه است من رسیدم اینجا خونه است یعنی من و چند تا آدم خوب که همه هم زبونن ولی یکی زیر پنجرم بدون دست ناز تا صبح بیداره به جای خنده و طرف همیشه تابوت میاره مادر من یه زن خوشگل و تک یکی که میشه با اون دنیا بهتر یه مادری هست انتظار بچه هاشو داره میگن جایی میرفت پدر برای کار روبروی خانه گدا گوشه سراح جناب پدرم سرطان درد داره پول میخوام برادرم مثل کوه کنارم ایستاده غزل دختر همون کلاس مدرسه ایثار از یکی که مثل من کنارم جنین داره بیراه میزنه پشت فرمون مست میره تو جدولای حل شده یه پارک ممنوع به جای من که نشستم کنار شعله هر روز بس بود عادتم به غم نگاهم از خودم به کم چی مونده ازم جز یه چند تا خوی غضب اون روی بدم نمیبینم خوبیا رو کور هستن چشام به بالا نگاه میکنم که خوب جهت Yeah.
Fontaine's DC, Jackie Down the Line. Before that was music from Northern Thailand. And before that were two tracks from Iran. One by Justina called Photo 971002. And the one before that was called Kel by Rudy. I played those two tracks also because the media seems to have gone a bit quiet at the moment in Iran, but the story there is far from over. So we're going to see what happens. But I have the feeling the media seems to keep it really out of the picture for some reason. Before that was the Kurdish track, Pukelela by Group Munzur. Next up is a track by Kasai All Stars from Congo.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. will happen. People who talk too much, let's see what will happen. Let's see what will happen.
Yo. Yellow baby. Mena songa. Uyo wazungu wali kujenga kuchimba resources. Sisi tulisota waka kuwa mabosses. Wali wali faidika tulipula malosses. Ndiyo tumebeba macrosses. Oh yes, uizi ya miindi lazima iishe. Uchungu ya mzungu lazima nitishe. Mimi bilionea umaskini iishe. Mimi bilionea umaskini iishe. Na t-shirt, meva t-shirt na jeans. Kiss marks, na blues. Pita these MCs, kuza mtu kama mtoto wamekosa mafize bana please. Mimi soldier wase watongoja. Na shekele ya mic sema one two over. Kisha rover na roll parole. Bani sikose makutano na wadosi sarofa. Mambo freshi, mambo bomba. Na fraisha maisha usiwezi omba. Nisifrench kidonda. Mimi niko fresh seba yes na songa. Yeah. Seba yes na songa. Yeah. Seba fresh na bonga. Seba yes na songa. Kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Seba yes na songa. Yeah. Seba fresh na bonga. Yeah. Sema yes na songa, kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Usikubali kushindwa, vimba kama dem akuna mimba. Mimba, na usikubali kuteswa, yes apata six pack mapressa. Pressa, na usikubali kunaswa, sasa kuna watu wameshalazwa. Lazwa, na usikubali kulisha, kisha tunasherekea na pusa. Na usikubali kuibwa, imba kama ndani yako ni simba. Simba, na usikubali kuringa, njia likutembelea bila makinga. Tinda, unahisi nakula kabichi na fish. Una dichi easy. Basi utakula mandazi. I'm busy. I'm busy. Sema yes na songa. Sema fresh na bonga. Yeah. Sema yes na songa. Kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Sema yes na songa. Yeah. Sema fresh na bonga. Yeah. Sema yes na songa. Kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Usione mjinga eti tunipa visipo na mimi na jineka. Usione mifala eti tusijachapa mtu mina kafala. Usione mishamba eti tusijapusa mtu mina kashamba. Shamba. Ni vile staki mabishamba. Mina jibamba na baba na jipanga. Usione mime pimbi kanyule mwindi vitubi kwa kipindi. Siku hizi misirinji na kwenye story zendo mimi hasingi. Na kambi wangu kwenye boma. Na soma vile watu wana kukoma. Wapenda moto kama choma. Mina wana mkijana kata kona na songa. Na songa. Sema yes na songa. Sema fresh na bonga. Sema yes na songa. Kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Sema yes na songa. Sema fresh na bonga. Sema yes na songa. Kila kitu nafanya mimi na songa. Yeah. Yeah. Dead master. Nyege, nyege, Tex.
That was Magabo, and the track is called Sapadeado de Catita, and is featuring the guitarist Felipe Cordeiro from Brazil. Before that was a Kenyan rapper who's based in Uganda, and the track is called Nasonga, and it's from a cassette called Kubali, and it's made with the French producer Debmaster. Before that was People Talk Too Much by King Aishaba from Ghana. Arnold from The X gave me, Onzeya, gave me that track this morning, and actually that CD has just come out today on Glitterbeat. And Arnold plays guitar just at the end of it. And that's it. The last song is dedicated to all my Italian friends who have to endure one of the worst and most extreme right-wing governments in Italy's history just now. It's called Batanlotto by Bandiera Rossa. It's on a CD called Cantici Anarchici. Yeah, great. My Italian's getting better all the time. And that's it for today. Thanks very much for listening, and see you next month.
Dacci mangiare, viva il coraggio, ma chi lo sa portare l'anarchia, la lo difenderebbe, ma viva il coraggio. Fame, chiedono pane, dei socialisti è pieno le galere, vada governo, infame maltrattatore, che giorno e della rivoluzione, infame società, dovrai pagare, che verrà qui giorno e della rivoluzione, infame società, dovrai pagare.
Relative position to mark the territory where they can claim the monopoly sovereign rule. On the regional level, on the level of the post-Soviet space, it's more about resources. If you cannot claim kind of like a soft power, hegemony is also like a soft power is a part of hegemony. Which you, when you are not capable to present an attractive vision of Russia to the peripheral post-Soviet elites, what is left for you is coercion. And in some cases, police is enough. In case of Ukraine, they need to use much heavier violence. and on the domestic level. It's a threat. Yes, Maidan revolutions, they were not challenging the ruling class per se. However, they weakened the state that became vulnerable to the pressure from the powerful enemies of the post-Soviet political capitalists, both directly and indirectly. In Ukrainian case, directly from the Western powers representing the transnational capitalist class, and indirectly by from the from their soft power institutionalized in the NGOized civil society. Both of them, they are united in the so-called anti-corruption agenda. And if you think about what is anti-corruption, what is transparency, this is the fundamental threat to the major competitive advantage of the post-Soviet political capitalists. The revolution itself is not a threat, but it undermines the state, which makes the ruling class more vulnerable. And so this threat is resolved in the war. So what is going forward? At stake now is the existence of a sovereign center of capital accumulation in the post-Soviet region. One scenario of the development of this culmination of hegemony crisis is basically the post-Soviet disintegration, when we would really say farewell to the post-Soviet region, just goodbye. There would be indeed nothing in common between the different parts of the former Soviet Union, and the elites and also the masses would realign themselves to the politics of the EU, of the US, of China in Central Asia, and in some extreme scenarios we can speak about so-called decolonization of Russia. That's what is actually seriously is discussed as one of the goals to disintegrate this, to finish that process that started in 1917 with the disintegration of the Russian Empire, continued in 1991 with the disintegration of the Soviet Union, and may end in 2020s with the disintegration of the Russian Federation. Or the in the process of the war, the Russian ruling class would be capable to move to a higher stage of its political and ideological organization. It could become more hegemonic. It could become more powerful, consolidated, and capable to mobilize more stable, active support, at least from a significant part of the Russian society. What happens now is kind of like knocking out of the old pillar of Putin's regime, the promise of stability, that we do not have any major breakthroughs in Russia. However, it doesn't become worse. Now, with all the sanctions and all of the consequences of the war, it actually may become worse. And this requires from the Russian ruling class to build another pillars of its rule. Now promising not stability, but some transformation. And there's also a more theoretical argument to this made by the sociologists like Beverly Silver or by another American sociologist, Dylan Riley, that the imperialist rivalry is actually conducive for hegemony. When the imperial powers compete with each other, they need to mobilize the support from the subaltern classes. They are not competing simply militarily. They may start to compete in some positive terms, as actually happened during the Cold War, when there was a competition not simply in the number of the nuclear weapons, but also in the space race, also in science, in technology. also in support of the third world countries. And if you're entering into another cycle of the imperial competition, it's quite plausible that we may see the return of hegemony, an organic solution for the hegemony crisis. And another stage that the hegemonizing of the ruling classes may help to build stronger counter-hegemonies from below. And that means that even if the Russian ruling class would now be capable to consolidate its rule in Russia in case they withstand or even win this war, they may sow the seeds over much more dangerous to them, much stronger, much more socially consciousness, much more radical revolutionary threat than any of our countries have ever seen for decades. The seeds of a new social, let's call it neo-Jacobin revolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments already?
Yeah, thanks honestly for your insights. It was very interesting, especially because the topic is so depressing nowadays with the war. And I like very much your perspective to describe the processes going on, for example, in the transformation after 1990s in Russia, but also in Ukraine as revolutions, because we often used to see revolutions just as such, if they are kind of successful, whatever that means, and that's not my perspective. I understand your thoughts like we have to see on the processes of societal transformation, especially also if there's an opposition to capital and state and so on. Yeah, I like this perspective. And I don't know if I have a question or if it's just something I wonder about when you were talking in your first part in the Soviet regime, where you had the idea or the view that there was in fact a communist hegemony, which was that strong that even the left radical opposition was criticizing the regime by being not, however, socialist enough and so on. For me, it's a bit unclear, this question, if it's right. Or in my perspective is that the I would agree to say, okay, there was somehow a communist hegemony, but that was not the hegemony of, for example, the party regime. And so, in fact, the communist statist regime undermines its own hegemony in the spaces by, for example, sending some peasants as kulaken into Gulag and so on. So they worked on undermining the hegemony which was in society in the spaces. Yeah, I don't know if it's clear. It's not a real question, but maybe I have some doubts on this description that there was in fact a communist hegemony. But or to say it another way, if there was one, I would not stick it to the, for example, Bolshevist party so much. But maybe I didn't get you right at this point.
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. That's actually very important, and it's a great question, and that's one we. Thinking about right now, and yeah, for many people it's not obvious that the Communist Party had a hegemony in the Soviet society, and the question of terror and massive violence in the 1930s, and not only in the 1930s, is of course one of the important counter-arguments. The thing is that for Gramsci, but also like not simply not relying simply on the authority of Gramsci, but even developing the concept of hegemony. Hegemonic rule cannot rely simply on the consent because it would be simply something, some kind of totally utopian society. In every society, you have coercion, you have violence, you have the conflicts that are resolved by coercion. And hegemony is not simply the lack of coercion, which is not happening in any real-world societies, but it's a combination of coercion with something more, with coercion against kulaks, but at the same time, mobilization of active consent of the poor peasants. And many people were killed or were sent to Gulag. That's true. At the same time, many people experienced the fundamental transformation of their lives. Moving from the illiterate peasants, who most of them they were in the 1920s, to the urban citizens in the post-war society. And they experienced that part of their lives as the... They did have consent about this. And which does not deny the importance of violence. It does not deny all the facts of violence. But it also helps to see that what else happened besides violence. Because we can actually have just violence with only passive consent. And this comparison between the Soviet Union before 1960s and post-Soviet societies would point us not only to the scale of terror. We are not experiencing that level of violence right now, hopefully. But at the same time, we lack something. We lack that active, enthusiastic mobilization. We lack this experience of moving forward, of revolutionary change, of the transformation, when in the duration of like years, almost decades, the lives of the masses of citizens are changing in fundamental ways, as it happened in the period of between 1930s till 1960s. What we experience is 30 years of the degradation and collapse, and which ends in the horrible war.
Thank you very much for your talk. I have two questions. One would be about the material interwovenness in the post-Soviet region, because as far as I understand, one of the argumentation lines in Russian state propaganda is that there were bilateral kind of contracts in the early post-Soviet stage, and that there were certain binding contracts and terms that were very much about, for example, power stations and, I don't know, trains and whatever. And then how far you would say that this... and the indebtedness of like the post-Soviet, or with the post-Soviet collapse, in how far this redistribution also is forming one of the materialist reasons for the invasion. And the other one is kind of interwoven with my first question, and how far the Ukrainian oligarch or ruling class or oligarchs are connected with Russians. Ruling class. So because you talked about the post-Soviet region as somehow as one region, and then dividing into these new nation states with different kind of political developments, but then looking also at what combines them or what connects them, and how far this also plays a role in these Maidan revolutions or the question of power in for example the Ukraine. I don't know if
I've got the question. Okay, thank you so much. That's so, also very important question and could be actually very illuminating. So about the not sure what you meant by contracts, but the interconnectedness of the post-Soviet economy was, of course, one of the it's a fact, because this was one state and which developed its economy in a centralized way, and when it started to be divided, it had a very painful consequences for the disruption of the economic routes and the trade links and so on. It was a very important part of the post-Soviet crisis. And the some fundamental connections that existed and still are important between the former parts of the formerly unified economy, I believe, is at least part of the reasons why Ukrainian integration into the Western-led institutions, EU, NATO, is actually more dangerous than, let's say, Finnish joining NATO. Although Finland has the border, which is just 150 kilometers far from St. Petersburg, and all that... That which makes all the discussions about how many minutes a rocket needs to fly to Moscow a little bit ridiculous, and why Putin is much calmer, because Finland may join NATO, but makes...
At Northrop Grumman, we've always been at the forefront of advanced electronics, providing technology to get more detail, detect hidden threats, see the whole picture, process critical information, and put it in the hands of our defenders, reaching constantly evolving threats before they reach us. That's the value of performance. Northrop Grumman.
Feel that that we've won the race. Ooh, the feeling feels just right. Baby, you and I are winning. We don't have to sit and fret. Baby, you and I are winning. I felt so lonely before we met. You and I are winning. It's like floating on cloud nine. Whoa, baby, I am yours and you are mine. Whoa, you are mine.
Dear listener, and welcome to this episode of New Drops on the Lake Radio. My name is Agnete, and I'm really looking forward to sharing music with you over the next hour or so. Previously, when I've been sharing music here at the Lake Radio, it's been along with my friend Jolane as a part of a show called Boogie. So I really hope I won't be rambling too much without her here to stop me. And of course a big shout out to you, Jolane, and thank you to Frederik for inviting me here. It's really cold here in Copenhagen at the moment. It's snowing outside and the days kind of end before they've even begun. The ground is covered in slush, so most people are walking around really carefully or biking very slowly. It's almost like the world is moving in half speed. And for some reason this weather is making me listen to a lot of Lover's Rock. Maybe there's something about the steadiness that's somewhat soothing when everything else feels shaky. So to kind of set the tempo from the beginning of this episode of New Drops, the first track we listened to was a song called Can't Let You Go by the wonderful Sandra Cross. And the second drop in the lake is from an album I was reminded of recently when I brought up my big box of old CDs. It's by a Danish band called Kirsten Ketcher, which consists of Anja Jacobsen, Anders Lauge Melgaard, and Andreas Fyre. It's only been a few weeks since I heard another track from Anja Jacobsen in an episode of New Drops. That was from her most recent album, as Frøken Jacobsen, called I Haven. So, yeah, I thought it might be fun to play something from the archive as well. This album, called Jeg skal snart ind, was released in 2005, so it's almost 20 years old, but I think it's still super fresh. And the song that we'll listen to is quite topical, I would say. It's called Kronprins Frederik, The Boat.
Let's go down to my